1 John 2:15. The first epistle general of John. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Quite an apostolic instruction. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is an instruction that should be taken vitally. It should be taken vitally. Now, let me point something out. This is the same John that said in his synoptic writing that Jesus said, for God to love the world. Right? Right? So John 3:16, Abby. For God to love the world, that gave only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in it should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. So he says, God so loved the world, then he says, love not the world. That sounds somehow contradictory. God loved the world, but you don't love the world. And so it shows you that there needs to be a definition. There needs to be an explanation, as it were. Interestingly, it's the same Greek word, in case you want to run to the Greek. It's the same word, cosmos. K-O-S-M-O-S. And so you can't, I've told you many times that you can't base Bible teaching on Greek words or Hebrew words. You can't base Bible teaching on that. True Bible teaching surpasses Greek. I remember someone coming to me one time and he said, what Greek dictionary do I use? I told him. He said, his study should be better now. I just laughed. You have all the Greek words and you have a Greek with it. Hallelujah. Bible study is not Greek word. I think I realize that quite early. There are some things that are beyond it. Because this now, for God to love the world, cosmos, love not the world, cosmos. It shows you that dictionaries don't tell you the meaning of words. Dictionaries don't tell you what words mean. What the dictionary does is to tell you the probable meaning. That is, give you what it can mean, not what it means. You ask a dictionary, what is love? And it tells you, love, verb. And it begins to tell you what it could mean. But love will now mean what it means in that sentence. That means a word would have a meaning contextually. The meaning of a word is derived from other words that are used around it. That makes sense? So you can't just say, you can't base Bible study on dictionary. A dictionary doesn't tell you what a word means. And so it says, for God so loved the world, so we have to look at it in context. What is Jesus talking about? So go back to John 3:16. Let me show you. Why you say, for God so loved the world, then John will now say, don't love the world. John 3:16. So, let's start on verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Interesting. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believes in him should not perish without eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. So what is the context? He says, the way Moses lifted up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, he later said, if I be lifted up, in John 12, I will draw what? All unto myself. And many people have used that for praise worship, if I be lifted up, or for the cross, when he was lifted up on the cross. That's not even a zero. That's a minus. If I be lifted up, talks about the resurrection of Jesus. That is, if I be raised from the dead, it's just quite simple. If I be raised from the dead, it says, I will draw all to myself. Hallelujah. Could be all. Well, you see all men, but the men is in italics. I strongly agree it's all judgment, as it were. Judgment of sin. Alright, so, the end he says, the way Moses just did that, whosoever now believes on the Son of Man will not perish for that eternal life, for God so loved the world. So, who is the object of the love here? The world. Who is the world in this context? The people of the world, right? He said, whosoever. So he's talking about persons. That makes sense. So, John 3:16, the world there, cosmos, will talk about the people, the inhabitants of the earth. That makes sense. So, we can boldly put John 3:16 as, for God so loved the people of the world. That's what it means. For God so loved the people of the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Again, the focus is whosoever, not whatsoever. Now, look at that 1 John 2:15 instance now. 1 John 2:15, the one we is our main text. So it says, love not the world, neither the what? So, what is the focus of this one? People or things? That's quite clear. So he's talking about a system, a pattern, set of values of the world. So he's telling you, don't love the system of the world. And as we go on, you observe that it's not only John that said this thing. In fact, it's a very loud emphasis in the epistle. Very loud. They said it in different words, but we can summarize all their phrases in love not the world. They said it. Everybody said it. Jesus said it. John said it. James said it. Peter said it. But you might not find it as love not the world, right? But you find it as an explanation. So love not the world is an explanation of the scriptures, of the epistles. Hallelujah. So John says, love not the world. The world contextually there would be what? A system of the world. You observe that in the first chapter, he was contrasting things. He contrasts light and darkness. Right? He contrasts light and darkness. He says, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, he says, you have fellowship with the Father. You know, he will mention that you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, fathers, in chapter 2, because you have overcome the wicked one. You know, he was contrasting the believer and the dark world. He was contrasting the believer and the wicked one. If you read earlier, then he now says, don't love the darkness. That would be the world. Don't love the wicked one. Hallelujah. I'm a first John 2:15. Don't get lost. So he says, love not the world. Again, let's review who the believer is. The believer in Christ is the one who is saved. Say saved. Say saved. Ephesians 2:8. He says, by grace were you saved through faith. None of your works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8. So, the believer is the one who is saved. The question will now be, saved from what? If you listen to that, it's a salvation through faith. Right, so, I said, salvation has to be from something. You can't just say, I'm saved. The word itself, so zoon, means that you are delivered from something. There's no passive salvation. It's quite active. That means I must be snatched from something. I must be protected from something. And so if we say the believer is saved, we also ask ourselves, saved from what? Glory to his name. Again, we can say he's saved from darkness. Colossians 1:13. Who have delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us. Same word, saved, sozo. He has saved us from the kingdom of darkness. Can we say the believer is actually saved from darkness? To where? To the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. Makes sense. Also, he is saved from the world. He is saved from the world. That's what Jesus said. Look at John chapter 15. John 15. It's quite an open a lot of scriptures this morning. John 15 verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me first. If you are of the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you what? That word chosen actually implied, I have saved you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. So the believer is saved from the world. As Peter will now say, you are a chosen generation. That chosen generation is not a son. And many people even sing it without even knowing the first step of its meaning. You have not even stepped into the balcony of its meaning. When we say we are a chosen generation, we are actually talking about how God has saved us from this world. Paul will say in Galatians, he says, he saved us from this age. He saved us from this present age. That's the present world. So, the believer must recognize who he now is. He must recognize that. That he is apart from the system of this world. You must always put that at your face. I'm apart from the world, from the values of this world. You know, that's why you will often find that in the epistles, Christians will oftentimes be referred to as strangers in this world. Have you never? I remember this song. This world is not mine. I love it. Is it Jim Reeves? Yeah. I love the song. I still do. Because the truth is, this world is not home. It's not home at all. The home is where the heart is. Hallelujah. So he says, you find that believers are often referred to as strangers, pilgrims. You are strangers in this world, and you wonder, what is he saying? How am I a stranger? This is my house now. You don't lose it. Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter is about to write to church or churches scattered abroad. Then he says, you remember where 1 Peter is in your Bible? Alright, so open. 1 Peter 1. Learning something this morning? Alright. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. How many together want to go? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To what? To the strangers. Can you see that? To the strangers scattered abroad. He's about to write to Christians. Men who have not believed the gospel, and he calls them strangers. You wonder, why is he calling them strangers? Are they strange to him? No. What are they strange to? They are strange to this world. They are strange to this world. Look at 1 Peter 2:11. The same book, 1 Peter 2. Verse 11 now says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as what? Okay, I'm not there yet. Oh yeah. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as what? Strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against us. And I said, I am begging you because you are strangers and pilgrims. Very interesting word. Jesus also used this in John 17. In John 17, verse 16, when that prayer, remember that prayer? John 17. So, a Christian is actually a stranger in this world. Don't feel at all. John 17, verse 16. Let's start from verse 14. Everybody read from 14 to 16 together. All right. Want to go? I have given them your word. And the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that I should take them out of the world, but I should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And so, if you are actually born of the word of God, if you are actually born of Christ, you are born again, this is your confession. I am not of the world, even as Christ is not of the world. Is it making sense now? He says, I gave them your word. What's that word? The gospel. I gave it to them, they believed. Then he says, because they are believed, they are not of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Look at Philippians 3. Again, this is Paul. Philippians after Ephesians. Philippians 3, verse 20. How many together want to go? For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Who shall change our vile bodies, that may be fashioned unto his glorious body according to the working, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, till a man understands this basic fact, he's not growing spiritually. Oftentimes, my personal test for spiritual growth in men is that the emphasis on the things of this world. It's easy to know Greek word. Hallelujah. That just takes coming for service. You know, Jesus is the explanation of God. It's easy for all of that. But the moment I find a man who the things of this world, I mean, everything of this world, really does not matter to. I mean, it takes them, I've seen a man who is growing spiritually. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he says, our citizenship is not here. This is never that. So a Christian has to align his thoughts, his decisions, to the hope that is found in Christ. A pastor wrote something of the recent, and I loved it so much. He said, if what brought you to Jesus is not that hope of eternal life, That hope, that glorious hope, that one day, or that everybody who has believed in him will live forever. That is not the reason why you are a Christian. Something vital is wrong. If the reason why you are a Christian is so that you can have money, or so that God can protect you from evil. I am already reaching some places. Or so that you will not die young. You say, let me just submit my life to God now. He said he can protect the Lion of Judah. Lion of Jebu. He said, it will make me pass my exam. Are you sure? He said, it will make my business flourish. If that is the reason why, there are some confessions that are not in the Bible. I'm a money magnet. I attract money. No. Those confessions are not crypto. There is no even Pharaoh. Errors. They are not so bold to say, I'm a money magnet. I'm a money magnet. Money comes to me every time. He said, I can never be poor. Those confessions are not in the Bible. At best, it is worldly. Nobody said in the Bible, I can never be poor. Nobody said, I'm a money magnet. Work for your money, get your money. Who does he edify? That you're a money magnet. Hallelujah. A believer must align himself. The reason why you actually came to Jesus was not because of those things. It's only that in the church today, that's what you find. Before pastor says anything, he has started. This week, that contract that I have been waiting for. Is that why we came to church? If I wanted contract, I know who to go to. Not you, sir. No rich man in the world will tell you that he got the wisdom for his money from the church. Nobody will tell you that. Hallelujah. Can't go to business schools. Hallelujah. The church, just like, you know, I love when Pastor Abraham Bond said something. He said, it's good to ease yourself, you know. It's good to ease yourself, to pass out waste from your body, right? But the kitchen is not where you do that. There are places for that. There's a White House. Hallelujah. You understand White House? You're in this church. There's a White House where you can go to and show the glory. But moment you now pick pot. Now, you know, you're like, yeah. Now pick pot. You're not like this. That's what we do when we come to church and talk about business. It's not wrong in itself to discuss your money. It's not wrong in itself to discuss your finances, your romance, annoyance, nuisance, anything. But you don't come to church to celebrate that. Jesus is the reason for his church. Hallelujah. Alright, so look at the writer of Hebrews. Look at his emphasis. So that you can know that you are actually a stranger in this world. The writer of Hebrews, he had a very loud emphasis on it. Look at Hebrews 11. Let me show you something. Hebrews 11. Learn something this man. Hebrews chapter 11. Goodbye world. Stay no longer with you. Goodbye pleasures. No, sir. Crossing. I stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way. I remember more than 22 years ago when I heard that song from Deep Alive. I think it was my very first service there. And I was the first by one with the clap and all. It's quite like youth gathering. I was inspired. I was quite young. I was inspired. I'd made up my mind to go to me. I might not understand it the way I understood it. I'm understanding it now. I'm still understanding. But it meant something to me. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. You know, imagine people saying that I've made up my mind to go God's way. You know, God's way sometimes is not your way. But it takes courage to say, I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. Hebrews 11 again, sorry. Verse 8. So he begins to talk about the faith of the patriarchs. It starts with Abraham. Of course, he already discussed Abraham before now. And Noah and Enoch. But now verse 8 is starting with Abraham. By faith, when he was called out to go into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out knowing not where he's going to. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. As what? As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, with heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, which builder or which builder and maker is God. Actually, that word city is what people, polis, P-O-L-I-S, is searched for a people whose builder and maker is God. Is searched for a people, a people built by God. I remember I thought something like that some years ago. A people built by God. That's what Abraham searched for. He knew that this world had nothing to offer. And so, as he was sojourning as in strange countries. That is, this place is strange. Great God. When Caleb got to Canaan, Caleb still knew that this is not the promise. Those are men who knew the gospel. He searched for a city. Look at verse 13. Or let's go on from verse 11. True faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive. See it? No, let's go to verse 13. So he mentioned, he said, this all, that is Abel, Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob. Verse 13, that one is together, want to go. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and what? Confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims in the earth. That was their confession. It's funny that people still claim Abraham seeds today. I was still joking with someone yesterday. I said, give me money now. It was a joke. Not begging for money. Then he said, Abraham. I said, well, Abraham seed. I used it to teach him. But that was his common confession. I'm Abraham seed. Money comes to me. It just does not make sense. Because Abraham himself, his hope was in Christ. Abraham himself, with all his wealth, said this world is a strange place. Bible says they sojourned, reckoning that this world, they reckon themselves strangers and pilgrims in this world. That word actually is, the word strangers is the opposite of an host, or of a host. Which one is it? A or an? A host. Alright. It's the opposite of a host. Like, say, they reckon themselves that they were guests in this world. Guests. They all died in faith. And their common disposition to this world that they were guests. You know, a guest does not paint in your house. They don't say, I came to greet you. Then he brought paint. And he spent in the compound. And he brings in bed. You are not a guest. You came to Scots. I remember university. University days when people want to Scots. Appreciate. People want to Scots, it's gradual. They don't come in as once because they are doing it. No. You first sleep over. You did not so. Just his phone. You just say I came to charge my phone. You now sleep off. He says he's a guest. The next day, you're like you have his bath in your own bedroom and go to his room to bring his clothes to change. Say, because let's go to class together. Say, no problem. If you have not been to university or polytechnic or private education hostel, I don't know what I'm saying. Then begins to change. Then if you don't bring one of his chairs, I want to get it any time. I know the school. And I want to learn that I put under the bed. He said, I'm not bringing my leg. No. Next thing, he brings his books. Then I want to read any time. And then let me even bring some of few clothes. Before you know it, he said, where is the roaster for sweeping? What's my name? He said, let me help. The moment his name enters the roaster, Elebo is a member. And so, you don't find guests in your house. The moment a guest starts moving, a guest does not need to know all the rooms in your house. No true guest sits in there, come and show me every room. You are a guest. You are a visitor. And that was how Abraham and the rest of the patriarchs reckoned themselves in this world. Hallelujah. It's making sense now. They didn't bring their bed. They didn't come to this world to settle down for comfort. They saw themselves as guests. Visitors. Just like Paul now said in Philippians 3. Our citizenship is not here. It is with God. It is in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't let this world rob on you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, a true guest, like I wrote here, a true guest is cautious of entering every room. Is that true? Right? I remember, I went to a very big house one time. I don't like dogs. Public confession. And so as I entered the compound, I only saw like four dogs in different corners They did not move. But just there, under flower, under, I said, hey, this is hell for me. Little tiny that is, they are actually two. Big, big ones waiting at the door of the car. To welcome their owner. And I'm not their owner. And so as they open the door, I just close the door back. He said, you cannot do anything. See teeth like this. What did I use for? You know, acting on the road. If he's acting on who he is, he's going to tear me apart. He said, you can't do anything. It's strange. No problem. You just stand behind me. As the next person, my friend, stand beside me. You stand behind me. Let's be going like that. By the time I entered the house, I saw cats. You see that this place is a zoo. I'm seeing cats. I'm seeing aquarium, fish. Different things. And so, in the house, I spent about 4 days there. You know, I didn't go past. I didn't enter the kitchen shop. I didn't go past the room I was given and the living room. That's the guest. I know some of you are some strange guests. As I entered there, they said, come and show me that. They have never shown me anything. They said, this is the store. How do you know this is our store? A true guest is cautious of entering every room because you don't know what awaits you there. Why I didn't go to every room was because I don't know where the dog is. And I'm not with a company, lest they attack me. Hallelujah. A true guest is cautious. And that was the way Moses, Abraham, Noah, all the people, all of them were cautious of this world. They knew that not every room is to be entered. We are guests. It's funny when a Christian just wakes up one morning and says, I can do anything. I'm also a citizen of Nigeria. No. You are a guest. You are a guest in this world. There's a way to church. Hallelujah. How about Moses? Look at verse 16. Verse 16 before that, before Moses. But now they desire a better, that is an heavenly. Look at, let's have verse 14. For they that say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that place where they came from, they might have had the opportunity, a manner of time, to have returned. But now they seek a better place, that is an heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They delight the earth and they desire an heaven. They deny this world. Look at verse 24. He will now speak of Moses. Hallelujah. Waiting for you. Verse 24. Let's see from verse 24 to 27 together. We are one to go. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than what? The treasures of Egypt. For he had respect to the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing it. Who is invisible? Hallelujah. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Wow. I don't know where the writer puts it. It says, by faith, he forsook the treasures of Egypt. Glory to God. That's it. He endured as seeing it. Who is invisible? Oh my God. That is by faith. Moses had the opportunity. He wasn't the son of a king. But by manner of time, by manner of opportunity, by love, by stroke of everything, he ended up in the palace. Who else would have taken charge? I'm in charge. You know what Christians say these days? Everybody is. Remember, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. The moment a Christian is saying, I'm in charge, then what? Food? Hallelujah. And so, but Moses, he's not saying, I'm in charge. This world is ours for the taking. If we say that one, it's for the gospel. Hallelujah. It's not so that he can be the richest man in the world. And so, Moses pursued the treasures of Egypt. It's not an easy thing. Or you think it's easy? You say, no, I don't want to be the son of a king. I want to be identified with these people. Who are the people? Slaves. Many Christians will not do it. Either you denied your father for ice cream. Say that you are not additional. I say, what is additional? I'm not going in Nigeria. You know, he forsook the pleasures of Egypt. Not for his season. He forsook the pleasure of Egypt. He now endured a seeing that is invisible. That is, he had a hope. He had someone in mind. Someone was worth more than every gold in Egypt. Someone was worth more than every respect he had in Egypt. He endured a seeing him who is invisible.
These are the heroes of our faith. They reckon themselves strangers in this world. Strangers to the things of this world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak. Remember Barak? Remember Barak? His name is here. Very beautiful. To tell you of Gideon or Barak, or Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped through the hedge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fly the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. And others are trial, cruel mockings, and scourges, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Verse 37. They were stoned, they were shorn and asunder. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in shiftings and ghosts of kings, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered the desert, in mountains, in deserts, and caves. And all these having obtained a good report through faith, received by the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See the way he describes them. I love this. He says, even though they stole the mouth of lions, they turned to fight the enemies of God. They didn't back down their faith. They didn't deny. He says, yes. Their confession was that this world was not worthy of them. A Christian is not the one who succumbs to this world. No. You must have a better hope. Hallelujah. He says, whom this world was not worthy of. Hallelujah. That's the reality of the man born of the Spirit of God. So you mean that David, with all he had, in the natural, of course, still said, this world is nothing. I mean, David, the second king of Israel, or the first, according to God's plan, Saul is not even a king. His name can't be here. Because Saul cherished this world. Hallelujah. You can't find Saul here. People who run after this world, they are missing in God's book of rewards. You can't have both. You can't have both worlds at the same time. You can't have one leg in the world and one leg with God. You know, it must be true, true, and true. Hallelujah. We must not choose to side with the world. And so it says, David denied the world. So consistently, the believer ought to have this in mind. Again, this is the example that is found in Jesus. You know, Jesus said in Matthew earlier, because I am not of this world. You know, Pilate came to him and said, are you the king of the Jews? I can picture Jesus laughing. Even under persecution. King of who? Eh? Is there one? Jews? My kingdom is not of this world. How about you say? That is, what do you think you are saying? Say my kingdom is not here. That is, I don't belong here. Hallelujah. A Christian's confession must be that. My kingdom is not of this world. How about you say before Pilate? That's the reality of every man that is born of the Spirit. He is not of this world. So with that knowledge, can we now go back to 1 John 2, 15? The answer is, love not the world. Is it making sense? Eh? So love not the world makes sense now. That is, this is the world you have been delivered from. You see that? This is the world that the heroes of it, the patriarchs of old, that they denied. That is, don't love it. Follow the example. Love not the world. Not the things of this world. See, listen. The very minute I see a believer, listen to me very well. A believer that boasts in what he has. I see someone I should be careful of. If you know me well, you will know that it's a no-go area around me as it were. To boast about what you have, no matter what you have. Like, I have 18 million private jets. I mean, 18 million. And you are the owner of Lagos. I mean, literally, you are the one, you are the landlord of Lagos. You can have all of that. But don't come to church and boast about it here. Excuse me, sir. You are nobody. You are all the same here. When I see a church, I'll say this very loud. I'm not apologetic about it. We give reference to those who are rich. I've seen the church that is not of God. You don't give reference, you don't give reverence, as it were, or honor because someone is rich in the natural. The honor we have in the church of God is for those who take on responsibilities. is for those who are over us in the Lord. Not because they have cash. You don't make people elders because they have money. The moment someone has put first belly, he's qualified to be an elder. What is rubbish is that? First belly is elder. That one elder actually is the same one as pastor. So it's not for age. Timothy was an elder at 17. It's not age. Hallelujah. Believer must recognize that he's not of this world. It must consistently ring in your mind. You go to work quite alright. You can't die of hunger. But as you go, in your mind you know, this is not home. So he says, love not the world, nor the things of this world. And that says, verse 16. Let's read verse 16 together. First John. Now we're back in First John. Verse 16. You need to be fast. Well, verse 15, that says, if any man love the world, what did he say? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is, no man allows this world to run off on him, and he pleases God at the same time. You can't please God. The love of the Father is not in him. So we now have new definitions. Hallelujah. We now have new morals. We now have new value judgment. Hallelujah. We now have new ones. You know, James already said in James 4:4 that friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You can't be friends of the world and be friends of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you must ask yourself this morning, what do you pride in? The very subtle question, very rhetorical. What is your pride? If they ask you today, that what is that thing that you are most proud of? The moment it is your account balance, something is wrong. Because as his wife, we have the second coming of Christ today. That your account balance will mean nothing. Just numbers. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man? Who gains the whole world? And then he says, so, of what profit? You stack up gold that you never use. What is your pride in? If there's number one thing I'm proud of, hallelujah. Number one thing I'm proud of is I'm born again. At least not every man in this world has that one yet. We are going to cover the earth. Hallelujah. If you throw your money at my face, I will ask you, do you have eternal life? Let's start with that one. Come, do you have eternal life? Now you have eternal life. Do you know what? Is it about what? I have the cash. Do you know what? You have cash. Perish your cash. Peter might not have the kind of cash Simon the sorcerer had. You know what he said? Say your money perish with you. Don't buy anywhere. That is in Yoruba. He said, who are you taking money at? Simon, he asked it. He said, let me offer you this money so that lay hands on me. So that whoever I lay hands on you, they will receive this gift of the universe. That's what I say. Your money perish with you. You are not okay. In this present age, let me tell you what Peter said. You are mad. That's what he said. Or it is not better for you. Not like that. He said, why are you doing this? If it's on his age, that's all this the man of God money, you say he wants to tap into the anointing. You understand grace. Which grace? He said, it's grace. You are tapping into the anointing. My son. I've never called anybody my son before. I'm even too young. Me, don't say, son. I will never call anybody my son. When my son comes, my real son. My real son. I don't mention his name. You know that this is my son. And I will tell you, this one is my son. You see, you are pointing to. It can't be you. My son. You are taught. When did I give birth to you? Hallelujah. See, I give birth to you through the gospel. Let's be here. We are not brothers. Like that. No man who understands the gospel of Christ thrives in this world. What is your pride in? The people on your honor roll, why do you honor them? Why is it so? The people you respect and revere so much, is it because they now have cash? Why do you like that man? Oh, because he's at the peak of his career. But then you despise the man who teaches you God's word. He's just Christian. Sunday, let's Christian be. Let's put church and church. You are ashamed, the brother. Shame. You should be your third year, your middle name. They are done. Something. Shame. The people you honor. On what basis? When I find a man, I was telling some of the leaders. That when I hear someone say, I have been in the ministry for 25 years, I bow. Don't assume you understand what he's about to say. That's the way Reverend Egan said it. Reverend W. Egan, not E. Egan. He said, when a man who has been listening before he wants to talk, don't assume you know what he's about to say. Keep quiet. No matter who the knowledge or insight you have, keep quiet. How many years are I think we've been around for a few days too. I know what these few days meant. These few days. I know what it meant. And so when you're telling me I've been in ministry for 20 years, I got prostrate. Yes, sir. I'm about to hear what you're saying. But if you like, tell me, I've been on Forbes, Forbes under 50, under 50. We've about to shift. Shift. Say, I want to sow into your church. Why are you not telling me? I got someone some days ago. Say, I wanted to partner with church. Why are you telling me? Partner if you partner. You know where to go to. You know the people to reach. Why are you telling me so I can know that you want to partner? I'm not moved though. If you like, say you want to give us 50 billion, you think you sit in this street. And I say, I lie. And I say, I don't even feel like preaching. He gave us $50 million. Kindly take the sermon. I don't know what you are about to say. Because you know it. And I say, I want to preach on Maccabus. Say, Maccabus. There's something about Maccabus. There's something about Maccabus. I get out of the church. The people you want to know, why do you want them? Why is this so? Is it because of the gospel? Is it because of what they do for the Lord? That shows where your true value is. The moment the church starts honoring people because of money and what they have, something vital has been lost. Love not the world. That is the scriptures. That's how you know a man that loves the Lord or is friends with the world. Glory to his name. John now explains further in verse 16. So he's about to explain to you the things of this world. Look at the Bible now, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Again, don't be obsessed by the things of this world. What is he talking about? Let me say this. I was thinking about what I said. You know that this world has a system, a pattern of thought, a very hedonistic pattern of thought as well. You know what hedonistic means, right? Hedonistic, H-E-D-O-N-I-S-T-I-C, hedonistic. It means, it's actually a belief system that comfort and pleasure is the goal of life. That's what you say. If I say someone is hedonistic, he believes that comfort and pleasure is the peak of life. That makes sense. And that is the pattern of this world. How many of you agree with me? How many of you agree with me? That comfort and pleasure, that's what this world has. You say, the moment you say, I want to be very comfortable. What do you mean by very comfortable? 14 ounces in Lagos, 20 in Ibadan, 895 in Ekiti, because that land is cheap. 4 hours in the UK, 4 houses in the US, 4 houses in the UI, and the other use. And you say, and then you now come to church. You say, we are praying for missionaries all around the world. Oh, celebrate. And in your mind, what is really that? I just give them $1 million. What do the missionaries need? You are a dumb person, sir. You are a dumb person. And a very stupid one. What do missionaries apart from money? Re-persecution only. Re-persecution. You want to give the enemy $1 million. He will tear it in. He is the God of this world working. Take out his own money. He needs lives. So your $1 million is useless, sir. And then people say, if you cannot go, let your money go for you. Shut up. You go and your money will go. That's what Jesus taught. You will go. Your money will go. Your life will go. Very hedonistic. And many Christians are tending towards hedonism. The moment it affects your comfort, you draw back. I asked him, I said, why don't you come to church? He said, it affects my work time. I said, on Sunday morning, and God does not want you to do that work. He said, how do you know? I said, I don't. In fact, the devil himself will tell you that God does not want you to do that work. Sunday morning. He said, I need to relax and unwind. I don't know those English. I need to unwind. They are winding you. The devil is winding. He's not winding you. You need to unwind what? I just need to relax. Don't feel at all in this world. Comfort and pleasure is not the proof of the will of God. The proof of doing God's will, the proof of obedience to God's will is that you obey it. That's just the proof. The proof is not that you'll be more comfortable. The proof is not that evil will never happen to you. Sometimes you do God's will, and then it's perilous. Jesus was doing God's will when he was being killed. Yes or yes? All our fathers were at the center of God's will, and they were in prison. They made themselves in prison. How about that? And that was yet God's will. But we are in a world where when someone feels a little bit of displeasure, we are immediately rounding it up that he didn't listen to God. I need to give an example. Like, imagine we just say, yeah, that God is leading us to have a job in a church in Namibia. And then we say, Bropa. And then you hear that as soon as he got there, he arrested him. What? In many people's mind, the first that comes to mind is, God did not say anything. Along come. If God was behind it, that should not have happened. He lied. The proof that he obeyed God is actually that he went. Not that he was arrested, or he was not arrested. Not that governors now sat down and you are listening to him. Sometimes people sit down, listen to you, and they're actually against you. How about that? Herod attended those meetings more than Jesus himself. Herod. The Pharisees attended Jesus' meeting, attended John's meeting, John the Baptist, more than Jesus himself. Yet, Jesus was on John's side. Or John was on Jesus' side anymore. The proof of God's obedience God's will is that you obey. That makes sense? You don't tend towards comfort. You don't tend towards pleasure. Because this world is not home. This I believe, and I knew to God, that this is taught in our churches. That Christians can come together and we have the same estimate of ourselves. And we are not celebrating one person because it's on truth. And it's on, these days, people start grading themselves in church. Say, this is the brother's suit. The world is working. This is how the world is working. The suit. Suit. Code. This is how the world is working. Your sense is not working. Say, this is the brother's shoe. This is that sister's IE. That's what it is. I'm going to say that. I'm not apologizing about that again. Then you start checking for the house. You know, that's Adora. That girl. That's his story. She's reason now. That's what you came to do in church. And that's why we have many Christians telling you what happens. You go to church. The first thing is to take yourself inside the toilet. I'm glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. Churches should not start serving you tea, coffee. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. Coffee. How will you take coffee and not sleep? You need teaching. They should give you bed now. Let us, we don't even care again. Don't give us bed and mosquito net. We'll listen to you. Comfort! I can't go to job, I will stream it online. That's the way the devil is streaming your life like this. Comfort! Hedonistic! That's the pattern of the world. That's what John said, goal of this world. Change wrong of the world. The moment comfort becomes the reason why you do God's will or not, something has been lost. You need to rework your way back. Pleasures should be for him. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. So Jesus said it in that parable, Luke 12, verse 18 to 19. The man that said, I have everything I need. Said, my barn is full. Remember that man? Eh? That rich man. Said, I have everything I need. He says, this night I will say to my soul, what? Eat, drink, and marry. That is the pattern of this world. Eat. Drink and marry. Find some believers. They're not going to outreach this year. What outreach? I mean, you're not going to preach the gospel this year. And you have attended at least 5 weddings. I'm stepping on your toes. Permit me. I still have more to. 5 weddings. Everywhere you have the ashwabi. That's the color. What's the color? This is gray. This is that one. Doctor is black. I have the one you don't have, you go and borrow. We said, we are going on outreach. I didn't know what was wrong. This part of my body is paining me. Shame. Eat, drink, and marry. So we ought not to enjoy the company of this world. Anyone who enjoys the company of this world has turned his heart against God. He has turned his back on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only reason why many people are disturbing what I'm saying now. It's because of the way we are brought up. The kind of gospel we heard. The gospel I heard. The gospel my mom brought me up with is not a lollipop gospel. I used to see her as missionary at home. You know, the things she sacrificed, the kind of length she goes for the Lord, they were examples to me at a young age. Not all this television gospel of Yeah. Oh yeah, we love the Lord. He loves us. Yeah. Jesus, you are good. You are the bomb. Jesus, you are the Lord himself is the bomb. You are the bomb. You are the guy named Jesus. Yeah. And because I have you, I can never be poor. If you don't learn here. Yeah. I can never be poor. Yeah. I'm the money magnet. Money comes to me. Yeah. That's really your case. Yeah. Came on.
Hallelujah.
Paul says in Colossians 3:2, he says, set your affections on things above, not things on the earth. Set your affections on things above. Where is your affection? What are those things? What are those things that you can't trade for money or silver or gold? What are those things that nobody can take from you? Your conviction in reaching men through your faith, can it be bought with money? I was telling you, I saw someone who found that, who actually resigned from a job that pays him close to $1 million per month to take a job that pays him 120. I was telling you, right? I mean, he resigned from a job that pays him close to $1 million per month. Did he say to me, you are begging me not to go? He resigned and he took a job that will pay him 120. Why? He said that job was affecting the service to God. No time for our future, no. And he doesn't want to keep asking for permission. It's getting ridiculous. I was awestruck. This is not the story I heard. I'm awestruck.
Some Christians.
Hmm. I found you a job. How much?
$950.
$950. Where? Lucky. Lucky is not even Lucky 2. Lucky 1. Very close to.
Wow.
Say, but sometimes if you're on Sunday morning, you can be on duty. No problem. That was an issue. I got brush a lot for permission. You grant me. His word is a yes and amen. Sometimes Saturday, you can't be free. So there's nothing I mean on Saturday. A free day now. So what would you tell Jesus? There's something I used to tell people. If Jesus was in the sitting room with you, in your living room, how would you have talked with your friend? What would you have discussed if Jesus was on seat? Would you still have discussed your money? He has said, Lord of glory, you can't even imagine. My account now, 6 figures. If Jesus was in the living room with your friend, you and your friend, are those the things you'd be discussing? I don't know if you're asking questions. If Jesus was in your congregation sitting like this, what would you have preached? Will you preach that men can become rich? Is that what you have preached? If you see Jesus, you'll have said, brethren, there's a gospel to be preached. Because you are seeing him. Little do you know that he's in every sense. He is. And every man is going to get his reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are not comfortable in this world. This environment of sin, sickness, poverty, politics, war, is not home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So John now identifies three things as I close. He identifies three things. In verse 16, he said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I remember teaching this quite some time ago. So he says, the lust of the flesh. What's the lust of the flesh? Anything that gratifies immediate satisfaction in the flesh. Oftentimes used for sexual thing. Just as love, not the world. The love means to be committed to. That's the word. To be committed to something. To be committed to someone. So just says, don't be committed to satisfying the flesh. The desire for the flesh. Drunkenness. Gluttony. Some Christians eat 3 square meals a day. I need 3 square. I don't mean 3 times. 3 square. 3 square is what? 9. That's what I mean. And they're eating popcorn. Then what's that in your hand? Say a chocolate. Can I have a taste? I'll have them get. Yeah? Where it is going, I just like having something to step it down. They give you Pepsi. Collect Pepsi. Drink. I say, wow. The Pepsi never go reach anywhere. Say conga near me. No conga. Are you aware? They have a well of salvation. Okay. He said, but how much is his money? What are we buying? He said, buy me 3, 5 fufu. Buy me 5 fufu, it's supposed to be away. He said, that's the best one. How about they go to party? It's not every party you need that. Hallelujah. He said, Pastor, don't go there. No, you can fast and go to party. I mean, if it's quite important to you, the person is quite important. father see you are close to. But some Christians, when they end, they go to the party, the fasting is over. As they are passing small jobs, that's not it yet, that's not it. Believer, that's not it yet. Don't you have a house? No house. Yeah, don't reach yet, I won't pass this place. Don't get the house this place, don't sleep for us. Loss of the flesh. So people cannot hold their sexual pleasures. Running from pillar to post. Hold your body. Self-control is the fruit of the spirit. Self-control is the fruit of the spirit. Every sister is your sister. Every sister is like every sister. Anything that can, emoji. Sister too. Why are you beating this brother at night? He is fire. Can't tempt him. Hallelujah. This is beating brother at night. Why night? Every time, night. So I just came to a follow up. Follow down. So texting sister. Every sister in church, you have texted them. You know what I like about you? Are you the only one like this thing about everybody? So you know what I like about you? It must not rain. You are already having weather for two. Christian, you can't deny your flesh. You can't say no. Hallelujah. When last you have a personal vigil. I mean, it's not church vigil. Personal vigil. You brought your body, you left your house. Most of the time vigil is your house. You know too. Abi? Eh? And you're looking at your bed. And you're looking at your bed and say, I'm starting by 10. 10! Put down strong goals. Instead, say, ah. Level. Final. Level. I believe that was the time that Jesus prayed. By level, just.
Level, just the level.
Ah. And then you're going. So let me rest small. You know, now that I start by digging down, the thing is, attitude of worship. So, what? You're lying down. You know, it's getting there. Go in there. No one waking up. Allah, that's what? Eh? 5 o'clock, 4:30. Listen, Allah, that God, demons dancing in your room. Around you as you're sleeping. You are gay body, around your body. Hallelujah. Lost of the flesh. You can't deny yourself of the things of this world. Sex, food. That time you should be able to stay off particular things that you like. Hallelujah. Just to show yourself at this flesh, listen, that is what you want. Praise God. He says, don't fall in love with it. With the love of God, with the lust of the flesh. Just watch your appetites. He says, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. Actually, that's covetousness. So they hide delight in treasures, in riches. Extravagant craving for gold and silver. Extravagant craving. Everything I have a media touch. I have a media touch. Everything I touch turns to gold. Have you heard it in songs before? Everything I touch turns to gold. You don't even know the story of the media touch. Media himself says you don't want everything you touch to gold again. The story is I tell about a pyramid appearing to a king. And he says, what do you want? He said, I want everything I touch to turn to gold. And he was granted. And so by the time he woke up, his bed should go. His bed, go. He said, wow, interesting. Now I'm a rich man. So he begins to touch the wall of his palace. Everything comes to go. Wow. He was touching the leaves. Everything I touch turns to go. So he began to sell it and all. Till his daughter came. Ran at him. And his daughter turned to gold. Yeah. It was going to be like this. And so the fairy bean appeared again and said, ah, you must be very happy by now. Must be the happiest man on earth. No, this girl has taken away the very thing I loved. My daughter, Jay, what do you now want? Everything that I have gone to go should go back. I can't even enjoy nature. No tree again. Everything is good in tree. No tree, no birds. Every bird I touch goes to visit. My glass window, everything goes. Ah. And so everything went back to normal. That's the story of the leader's touch. The one that you are saying everything I touch goes to go. Hallelujah. The loss of the eyes. The loss of the eyes. You just want to have everything. Anything money, it is pleasing to you. The moment money becomes your obsession, you have lost something. Christians are not in the rat race to become the wealthiest in the world. No. Christians are not in the race to create nations, empire for themselves. Again, Learn from Abraham. Learn from David. Hallelujah. A believer must not have lofty eyes. See, no one who truly serves God have an eye for appreciation of material things. Are you listening to me this morning? No one who truly serves God has an eye for just want to ask, what to acquire things. It's not of God. Because this world will eventually pass. How we say that together? This world? Yes, this world will eventually pass. It will pass away. It will. Whether you people agree with it or not, your point is very, very agree. I remember an atheist one time. He said, I don't believe there's hell. So, well, I don't believe there's any hell. I don't believe there's any God anywhere. He said, prove it to me. I don't believe it to me. You find out. Hallelujah. I'm going to prove that, but you eventually find out that there's hell. Now remember me that I told you to find out. That's your project defense day. Praise God. You find out. Whether you believe it or not, this one will pass away. All those clothes that you are guarding, that become your obsessions, to pass away. The cars. How can a Christian comfortably say he has 8 cars? What are you doing with it? I know many people will go against me. You show your position. You show the side you are on. What are you doing with 8 cars? What? That is a loss of the eyes. If you truly know that this world will pass away, acquiring things will not be your focus. Your focus will be lives. Many Christians don't like to hear what I'm saying. But that will not stop the truth. Don't stop the truth. How many houses do you want to live in? How many marriages do you want to fly in? You want to be flying in one like this and flying in another one. The loss of the eyes. Love not the loss of the eyes. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches contentment. Philippians 4 verse 12 says, I've learned to be in abundance. I've learned to be abased. I know how to suffer once. I know how to suffer when I don't want. He said, in all these things, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. Talks about contentment. And people have been told it to the reverse. And they are using it for getting more things. I can do all things. I can get by the through Christ that strengthens me. Is that what he said? The person has said that he's talking about contentment. Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world. But they don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in uncertain. He calls it uncertain. The money they thought is built on the love of money. Nobody can even be saved. The love of money says is the root of all evil. So because of this, some have erred from the faith. They departed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to stay in God's will for your life, and you want to have joy, don't trust in riches. Exactly. Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, no man can serve money and serve God at the same time. So you choose who side you want to be on. Let's serve money and serve God. You choose the side you want to be on. Proverbs 19:23, the same thing. Make a living. A Christian ought to work with his hands. That's all I'm saying. Make a living. Be better in the things you do. You'll never be committed to money. Where is a commitment? You know what commitment means? That means you are committed to, at all costs, you must change Forbes, what do you call it? For the younger ones. Forbes 30 and 30. At all costs, whatever must happen. And so, whether God comes in the way, he puts you aside. Outreach, what's outreach? But I push God aside. But pastor, what do you say? Your family, those who run that kind of race, they later regret. They don't have children. When you are done with first 30 under 30, you will run for first 40 under 40. Don't you know? When you are done with that one, there's still 50 under 50. Yeah? You still get 120 under 120. After a year, at this world, you pass away. Work on your heart. Money must never mean anything to you rather than what it is. Money. That makes sense? Money must not mean more than what it means. It means money. Buy what you need. Christians don't ask their pocket. Thank you, Jesus. Don't give your gold. And the third thing he says you should not fall in love with, he says the pride of life. The pride of life. I will explain this. It's in two folds, but I will just quickly explain it. Number one, the pride in the things you have that are material. The pride of the vanity of this life. When I see, I've had to warn some of you before. When I start seeing an emphasis on, do you know how much I got this? Do you know how much I earn?
hey, something is wrong. You are losing something. We don't need to know anything about you. Serve the Lord. I believe that there's still much more to be done on this material thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. The pride of life. Look at your car. This car. I used it in 2007. Yeah. It's quite. What are you trying to do? That will not get home by driving it. Will I get home? I will. So what was your point? If you know this world well, you know that this is your car that you're driving 2007, 2019. And then it's 2035. You go say, we pack it at home. Hallelujah. Because you pass away. The best house in 1999 is not the best house now. The best house you are saying in 1999, this is the best house on this street. You know by now, you're not saying, this is the first house on this street. It has changed in reality. It's the first house. Hallelujah. Pride of life. I was telling Mr. Gidi about a story I read online. On Facebook. About a friend who met another friend, an old school friend. And they were giving themselves, they said, come to my house. And in his mind, he wanted to show his friend that he had made it and all. But he took a loan. Of course, before you can take that kind of loan, that means you have quite a lot of properties. And so he took his friend to his assets. And you see, he's in the kitchen. Because his friend was dressed in Palm and Ankara. So he was well filled and all. He said, no, I don't need help. I'm okay. That was the friend said. He said, you don't need help. Okay. So when you want me to come and see your family too, I did a wow. And I will give him his address. So, as he came down, he was even at Lekki. So, he gave his address and then, he went to the Ikeja. He said, ask me, I said, go to rural estate. He said, okay. So. He mentioned the house. He said, are you sure? That's the house you're going to? He said, yes. And he got to the place. So, wow. Nice building. I didn't know my friends were, that made it like this, and then he entered. This is, you know, that actually his friend owned the estate. People who have money, they don't hold it around. Is this so small boys? So if I leave you there, that would that be everything you have in your account. Nothing your money needs to money. What's your name again? Sorry. I won't say cheap money, that's why I asked. Cheap money. I don't lack for 5 millionaire. You know what do I have the money? You won't even experience anything. They don't go about their normal things. Very normal clothes. Oh no, 10,000 naira each of you is Yaba. Supermarket. What do you have here? 10,000 naira. What do you have here? Many talking to a man who is that old there will be your father. I'm not buying it again. Who are you? So, you don't ask yourself, who am I? Not just that the friend owns the estate. The company he works for, that he thinks is dying. The friend owned 30% shares there. So what? Yet, that one was really in subjection. Wasn't front of it. The pride of life. There's nothing you have that you are not given. Nothing. The money you are boasting is all paid to your account. So what should that person be boasting about? The car you claim that is everything you have. Someone created that's his company. That's what he makes. He has about 250. He decides to stop today and say, I'm doing all these cars. And you are dead, man. Hiding about what you need. Nothing you have that is not given to you. And everything that you have to give will still be taken away. Whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. The pride of life. Also, it's the subtle desire to be praised. Not to be praised. Just want to be praised. You want to exalt yourself over your altar. Which Romans 12:3 once again. Hallelujah. That was Saul's doom. You want to be praised. The moment they shifted the praise to David, they saw Saul had killed 1,000 men. But David, he has killed 10,000. Saul got angry. Why are you angry? Did you even kill 1,000? You. Didn't they hide your own food? Did you kill 1,000? Saul? No. Did David kill 10,000? No. Both of you, they lied about you. But because he has always been the focus of Israel, he has always been the king, that giant guy. Now David, the small boy. How was Saul's goal? He loved this world. He loved that place, the pride of life. Many Christians still want that today. The moment you do something for the church, and nobody's talking about it. You feel offended. Why would they not? Don't know it's part of my. Why would they not recognize that? But the moment we reward you here, you have got, that's all the reward you ever get. I'm quite careful when I that's why we don't do what they call it, ministry appreciation. That's the best disciple of the year. Am I the one who is going to reward you? No. Who am I giving the best supply of the year? How am I making sure you are deserving them? So, winner of the year. Hey, hey, hey. That's all the reward you ever get. That plague. Just go and keep it eternity. When everybody gets their crown of glory, just hold your wood of glory. Hallelujah. The pride of life. You want to be praised. If you do ministry for this purpose, you are not serving the Lord. The moment you are doing ministry, you are pastoring, you are teaching. So that as you are teaching, you know, you take a picture like this. You know, next time, let us think. The man is online. The man of God. You are not serving God. Only you. What is here? The moment you are doing ministry, so I can be seen. Or so I can be heard. So I, we now have website. We now upload our feed. Just know that you are not serving the Lord. He said this. The moment you are doing it for yourself, for your own praise, to be puffed up. The moment you are leaving prayer, to be puffed up. The moment you are singing, to be puffed up. You are working for the Lord, to be puffed up. Then you are not serving the Lord. You are serving yourself. That's not service. That's show. Pastor, that post like this. That will be your mask on. Are you like this? Yeah, the popular post. Right. How's that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Is it, are you capturing it, right? And if that's the aim of the ministry, you have lost it. Now some churches, you now edit the part that the seat is empty. You now take it from the part that people are plenty. Capture this place. People are plenty. Remove that empty chair. What to show? To what end? Who are you doing it for? Hallelujah. If our churches, this number, in our 20, 30, 40, I'm okay. I'm not going to listen people who are all after this world. When you have quality, you don't necessarily run after numbers. You're going to get the numbers, hallelujah. Because much men will be saved, much men will be discipled. But that's not the focus. If it's only 10 people who are truly yielding to the Lord, I'm okay with that. How about telling the Lord that when we started? I don't need a motto. I don't need much. Just people who yield. You don't need a crowd. Why you said it? The pride of life. The pride of life. You want to be seen. You want to be seen. You want to be known. Fame is not the proof of God's will. Sin is famous. Satan is famous. Saul was famous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pure worship is to keep yourself unstained from the world. James 1:27. You keep yourself unstained from the world. Watch it. So watch it. Because if you build an empire, one day it will vanish away. But it vanishes. Hallelujah. So watch it, the loss of the flesh. What are these things you can't control? Whatever you can't control, use it. Is that clear? Then you find something that is actually getting beyond your control. Stay away from it totally. Self-control is what we have in the spirit. The loss of the flesh. The loss of your eyes. Don't let your eyes be lost. You can't have all the riches in the world. Be contented. Be contented. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:10, he says, Demas has forsaken me. He has loved this present world. I remember years ago, I was reading that place and I was almost crying. I can recall how Paul was in it. Because historically, that 2 Timothy was almost, if not at all, the last letter of Paul. Because it was just before his second trial, which later was bearded. Right at the end of the ministry, Paul was saying, Demas has forsaken me. He has loved this present world. No man is blamed. Demas, Paul's God. That means he understood new creation realities. Right? He understood the people. He understood forgiveness, his dwelling, in God, revelation. But he loved this present world. You keep your heart. You watch it. Loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes. The pride of life. The pride of life. Give your Christianity for sure. The moment the church is praying, don't pray long because every other person is praying long hours. Who are you serving? You do ministry because of the post. Because certainly men will still cook past eating. It's not something you can avoid. It's not something you can avoid.
Men will still talk against your church. It's nothing. Hallelujah. I remember the time John, the Lord has spoken things about me here. The Lord gave me time before. He said so about you. I don't know why you brought that. Yeah, it wasn't more than I did. I know that it's a greater persecution. Yeah. Are you confessing persecution?
No, no.
It has been confessed before I came. In this world, you will find trouble. Trouble will come to you. That's what Jesus said. Don't you be sick. Then you face persecution. Say, but you are Christian. I don't know the word. So what are you doing for? The part of life? No matter you boast in what you have. This is you acquire without the Spirit of God. That's the pride of life. Hallelujah. The believer must not conform himself to this world. Romans told us to. Says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. But be what? Be transformed. Don't be conformed to schematism. Don't be conformed. Don't squeeze yourself to the pattern of this world. That pattern of comfort and pleasure. That pattern of lack of self-control. That pattern of, you know, just these young boys and girls waste away. They were very clubbing, I think. And they spend money, and in their mind they are enjoying life. No, the world has hurt you. You have loved this present world. You keep yourself. You keep your heart intact. You keep your consecration to the Lord. You keep the things you do for Him. Don't let this world get into your head. Be like Moses. Forsake the treasure of Egypt. Endure as seeing evil is invisible. Don't be conformed. This world is not our home. It has never been. It will never be. This world is not home. There's a better country. There's a place. With the saints, the people of God. So don't be conformed to this world. Don't squeeze yourself inside the box of this world. There's no need for it. Leave Egypt. Forsake Egypt and our toys. Don't bring the toys of Egypt. Forsake Egypt and our toys. Walk where you're living. Raise your family, be better. But don't be committed to money. And don't boast in it. Some of us we have excess. So as it were. There are many people in the life who are rich. Sometimes inheritance. You don't need to say to your name that your father gave you. Never break the news. Paul says, my boast. I boast only in the cross. That's our boast. In what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. We boast in what we do for you too. So say it. It's a pity when you see princess. Somebody is saving souls. He's winning souls. You look down on him because his shoes are not good. And then you see the guy with the back account, bad back account. Then he celebrates. He said, how do you always say, we celebrate his son. We are a gift to this generation because he has money. So then he gave a gift. Because you are about to give a gift to your pocket. Don't celebrate this world. That's the very thing we are saved from. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. John says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not to me. Leave the pleasures of this world. Leave the pattern of this world. And follow through the Bible's true messages. Let me just bow our heads. Let's pray for ourselves.